Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dreams Unlimited Travel podcast. My name is John Magi, and I'll be your host. And in this episode, Craig Williams is going to tell us about his very short trip to Disneyland Paris. And we're going to use that as a way to give you some advice on how you can visit Disneyland Paris if you only have a few days. I'm joined at the table by our panel of experts, Client Services Manager for Dreams Unlimited Travel, Kevin Close.
Bonjour.
Oh, agent and welcome center manager for Dreams Unlimited Travel, Teresa Eccles.
Hey.
Very French of you. And back in our production facility, we have our producer, Craig Williams.
Hello.
Hey there. All right, so Craig had an opportunity to go to Disneyland Paris for a very short period of time. We're going to have him tell us the circumstances behind that. But we also thought this was a great opportunity to kind of talk about Disneyland Paris. Kevin and I have been. Teresa, have you ever been?
No, I have not.
That's so sad. Should be another work. Another
I'll do a workation for you.
Do a workation at Disneyland Paris. But yeah, so we've had an opportunity to visit, and we've actually stayed only a couple days each time anyway, right? So our
I've been to the Disneyland Paris. I've been twice, and both times it was for a very short time.
Right. So we hope hopefully give you some tips if you can't get there for a longer stay. So, Craig, tell us the circumstances about this trip. Why did you go? What was the reason for it? Why did you only spend a little time there?
Yeah, the full disclosure up front, that could have been a bad word. The full disclosure up front is that Disney did, in fact, pay for this trip almost entirely. They, at the last minute, about a week in advance from my date of departure, they asked us if we would be willing to come out and cover their inaugural Fan Days event that was happening at the Walt Disney Studios Park. It is, it's obviously going to come back again in the future. We're not sure if it's just going to be there or if it's going to make its way to other parks as well, too. But they sent an email saying that they would pay for the flight and put us up at the hotel and transfers to and from the airport. And then it ended up being even more once we got there, including meal vouchers and other meals that were paid for, event admission into Fan Days. If I wanted to, I could have went the entire trip without spending a single dime on anything. I did not in some circumstances, just because like some of the meals they wanted to offer were buffets and long dinner shows, things that in a very short amount of time I did not want to waste.
Did they try to get you into Buffalo Bills?
Yes, they tried to get me into Buffalo Bills.
They love that show out there, I gotta tell you.
And I did want to see it, but then...
But you have a limited amount of time. You don't want to spend hours at a dinner show.
Yeah.
You want to get in the park.
It would have taken up about 2 hours with the entire experience.
And I'm going to jump in here for just a second. Yep. In my very limited experience with Disneyland Paris, people think France, they think French food. I found nothing in Disneyland Paris that I thought was wasting valuable park time. I thought all of it was, I think it's easier to just grab and go.
That's my opinion. I see what you mean. Yeah. I couldn't put it together. You meant you would rather be in the park and experience the park rather than going to a dinner show or something like that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Gotcha. So Fan Days is going to be, or was, excuse me, an event, a private, a separate ticketed event.
Yes.
We are speculating on, we don't know what it means for the future, but they wanted folks from the Disney community out there, the fan sites, to go and review it and cover it. Not review it, but cover it and advertise for them. And that was the opportunity. Now, the interesting thing was this was very short notice.
Yes.
You had a very limited amount of time for us to make a decision and who was going to go and you were going to go, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. By the time that I left on a Thursday night at 9 o'clock p.m. to start my travel trip that got me there on Friday, I didn't have a confirmed flight until about Wednesday morning at, I think it was 6 a.m. They sent me the confirmation, and then I didn't find out until either late Wednesday night or early Thursday morning that I even had a hotel room, because I didn't even have that information. So I was traveling under the greatest of stress. Even though it was all taken care of by Disney,
But there's still that thought of, oh my gosh, what happens if they screwed up? Yeah. What happens if I don't really have a hotel? What am I going to do? How am I going to get around? Now, if you've been there before, you know, you could probably think to yourself, well, I know that I can go to a hotel and get a room because there's multiple hotels. But if this is your first time, it's obviously
stressful. Had you had not been to Disneyland Paris before?
No, this was my first time. And on top of that, I haven't ever honestly researched into Disneyland Paris. It's not something that's been an option for me to go to at this point. So I knew the general idea of it. Like, I knew that there was the Disneyland Hotel that also served as like kind of like sitting on top of the park entrance. I knew that they didn't have Haunted Mansion. They had Phantom Manor, which was darker. And I knew about some of their Fantasyland attractions that were a little bit more unique than what we had. Obviously, how beautiful their castle is, seeing it in pictures. And they didn't have Tomorrowland. They have Discoveryland. So I knew information like that.
You even tweeted, where should I eat?
Yeah, no.
Going to Disneyland Paris, where should I eat?
Yeah, I had no clue. I knew about really just attractions, things like Ratatouille. Again, I didn't know restaurants. I didn't even know hotels. So when they told me they were taking care of the hotels, it would be at a Disney hotel. The first thing I did was went and I looked through all of them, and I was starting to be like, okay, I hope they don't put me here. I hope they don't put me
here.
Where
did you end up staying?
I ended up staying at Hotel New York.
There's quite a few of, excuse me, there are quite a few very nice hotels at Disneyland Paris. Then you get into the things that are like the nature place, which is a little sketchy. It's a little, it's a cabin in the woods type of thing, and it's all very sort of odd. And I'm sure if you're a fan of that, you're going to write to me and be mad about me.
Especially the word sketchy.
Yeah. There are eight Disney-owned and operated hotels out there. So there's a lot of choices.
There's more than I thought.
Yeah. There's quite a few. And they're very nice hotels. I've walked through the Hotel New York. I haven't stayed there. It's a nice enough hotel. It's
very interesting. It is about ready to shut down and be converted into a Marvel hotel. We found out about that at the 2017 D23 Expo. I think Marvel will be suited in there because it is right now the hotel at its point is just the most generalized thought of New York Americans. It's like one hallway has a giant Yankees logo and the other one has a New York Mets logo. So they think that New York is like baseball, taxi cabs.
Well, that would be like if we built a Paris hotel in St. Cloud, we'd have a croissant in the Statue of Liberty.
It's always interesting to think what people think New York is.
I found it very hilarious. I was like, you know what? It is a romanticized idea of what New York is, especially with like the bar area. It does feel like kind of what you'd expect from a 1950s New York bar, but I'm sure the French and other Europeans probably get a kick out of it. As an American walking in, it did make me chuckle a little bit. But
and again, nice enough hotel. How are the rooms? Are the rooms okay, or are they? Could you tell they're in need of rehab?
Yeah, the rooms were definitely they're on their way for the rehab, and I would say it was about there. It wasn't like the rooms were in bad condition, like furniture was beat up, anything like that. It's Disney hotel rooms, when you do them themed, eventually themes start to feel dated. Yeah. That's an inevitability, even though you might form an attachment to the rooms as they are. They all live their lifespan, and then it's time to change it up. And I definitely would see that this one was on its way to change. My only criticism, which I don't have a lot of because I can't honestly do it considering I didn't pay for it, but I always travel with my converters now when I go to Europe. I was expecting more outlets in the room, and so when I only had two different outlets I could plug in my converter in, that caught me off guard. So when I travel, I have a lot of electronic equipment that needs to be plugged in, and so it's like I had to really watch how much I could plug in because there wasn't a lot of outlets. But
this is the Disneyland Hotel is their flagship. as Craig mentioned, that's the one that goes over the entrance to the park. Very cool. This is actually considered their second best hotel.
So like a moderate?
No, I would still think it's probably considered a deluxe hotel there. But in there, again, you use those terms and it's not exactly the right way to use it out there. Mm-hmm. But and it's also one of the first ones built. So as they build new hotels or anything, new cruise ships, they add more plugs, they make things more modern.
All of Europe could use an additional outlet.
Right. I mean,
all of Europe.
We stayed at the Disneyland Hotel and it's absolutely gorgeous and it's beautiful and it's got this wonderful theming, but it's, you know, you're in a cave. It's like there's no plugs and no lights and it's very...
The brightest bulb is like 25 watts. I used my cell phone flashlight a lot.
So, I mean, this is not... You know, I'm not picking on this. Yeah. This is just the way it is.
And it's just the way we travel.
If it goes under rehab, you'll see more of that.
Yeah. One thing that I was shocked about this whole area that I didn't understand, and I'll start with the leaving the airport and going there. I know we'll talk about that more. I didn't realize that Disneyland Paris was basically going to be out in the middle of a field in a French countryside.
Yeah.
But even more than that, I didn't realize that it was designed kind of with the same ideals as Disneyland, Universal, and some of like the Epcot resort areas, that all the hotels are right there within walking distance.
Yes.
So when I walk, I saw online that it said like, okay, Disneyland hotel, that takes 5 minutes to get to Disneyland Park. I'm like, it takes 5 minutes to get downstairs.
Yes,
but
that's it.
But then like my hotel, it said 10 minutes. The Sequoia, it said 10. The Newport, 20. And the ones further out, the Cheyenne, and I forget the other
sketchy
name.
Sketchy ones.
Yeah, they're like, those are 20.
Santa Fe. And then, yeah, like I said, there's the Paris, there's the nature one.
But
Disneyland and Paris is 20 miles from... Paris.
Okay, I wondered about that.
And is it out in the countryside?
Yeah.
But it's actually a purpose-built area. It's a place almost a little bit like if you took Celebration, Florida, and connected it to Walt Disney World. There's housing
there. There's a town around it. Valda.
Marnay something.
Valda.
Yeah.
I apologize. I can't come up with the other
one. Yeah, I can't think of it either. But again, this is a purpose-driven space where there's housing for people.
Valdurup.
That is space for people to live and then who might work at Disneyland. So it's all this sort of, they took land and they
community.
Built it up.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. We drove through and there's like cornfields.
Yeah. And the,
there's a castle.
Yeah. The hotels all are within walking distance. So like Disneyland, you have to pass through the shopping dining district here. It's Disney Village.
Right.
But that's all you have to do to get through, with the exception of Disneyland Hotel. Again, that's
and surprisingly
that's on the other side of it all.
Surprisingly, the other hotels that aren't Disney hotels are also very close.
See, and I didn't get a chance to walk further to see, but there were people that I did meet there, and once it were even in our group, who chose other accommodations on their own because they're staying longer, bringing family, friends, stuff like that, that stayed off-site. And you know, they were also very happy with offsite choices and the actual distance to get to it.
Europeans, actually, the people who are from Europe actually prefer those hotels. They're cheaper.
Yeah.
But then again, they're very close by. And a lot of them are chain hotels, so they're not,
I know Max, my son, had gone over last year and they stayed off property, but they said it was so close. It was
very close.
Right there.
Yeah. So it's a cool experience from that perspective, for sure. You've got this... Again, it's almost like this, what Epcot might have been envisioned to be, because again, you have people living there and working there, and there's places for them to do their stuff, cleaning and shopping and stuff, but then there's also theme parks and hotels.
Yeah, and just to highlight on the trip from the airport, there's obviously multiple options. They provided a taxi from the airport, so they came and found me as soon as I got through baggage claim and exited out. And I will just, like, I saw the fare obviously as I was riding in the car, and a taxi from Charles de Gaulle to Disneyland Paris, it was around 130 euros, which, so depending
again, it's
on
far
what,
it's yeah. not
Yeah, it was on the way there because it was a Friday night with traffic. It took 90 minutes, but on the way back to the airport on a Sunday or Monday morning, no traffic at all. It only took about 35, but the fares are still the same.
A very popular option from Charles de Gaulle is there's a train.
Exactly.
And the train takes you directly from the airport to Disneyland.
Wow. Yes.
There's a stop at Disneyland that's very popular when people are leaving Disneyland to get on the train, which the stop is right there, and it takes you right into the airport.
Yeah.
Or they can go to Paris.
Or train goes other places, but there is a direct link between the park and the airport.
And it does have limited hours, though, so you have to make sure that it falls in your travel hours. The other option that our friends, the Marks, told me is that it's very easy to get an Uber all around France now, and they said it's an option that they've used many times, and it's very, very affordable.
We hired a private car to take us in and out because we had multiple people and multiple luggage, but again, it's all very easy to get around. Exactly. For sure. All right, so let's talk about, you got there, you got into the hotel, leaving the fan day stuff aside, because if you want to see the fan days coverage that Craig did, you can go to wdwinfo.com, go to the Diz. I assume I'm getting all this right.
Yeah, as of recording this, I still haven't put out everything. There's still way more to come, so it'll probably be all out there.
But that's about the event itself, right?
Yeah.
This is a more general discussion. Right.
So we'll leave the event aside. Let's talk about what you got to do in the time you were there.
So by the time I got in on Friday night, I didn't have any time to actually go into the parks because I had a dinner scheduled for me. So my first real experience with either of the parks or even Disney Village or anything was on Saturday morning. And
where'd you go to dinner the first night?
It was inside the Hotel New York in one of the banquet halls. Okay. So it wasn't, it was a special.
It's like, I want to get out. Let me out.
Exactly.
No, right. You have to be in the banquet hall. You have to be in the conference center.
I know. It was rough. You have to make sacrifices.
No, but I've been on those trips where it's like, all you want to do is go out and play and we'll have a great time. It's like, no.
Yeah. I was, unfortunately, just with how they scheduled and working with a French travel agency booking travels, I, for some reason, was the only person that was like booked to get in at, like right before the event started instead of very early in the morning like everyone else. So I was at a disadvantage from the start.
I also think, too,
did you fall asleep during dinner?
No, I got decent sleep on the red eye over, so I had no one next to me.
He's also young. He's not us. No. He's not. Okay, go right to bed.
Really?
As soon as you get there.
I would have gotten off the plane and been in a coma.
There's also other things, too. I think that if we had more warning and more foresight of this, we could have got you out a few days earlier and put you on a different flight and not worried about Disney paying for the flight. It's just the way it happened. It was all
exactly
sort of weird.
So I didn't have any time for anything besides I walked over to Sequoia, had a drink over in their bar, so I saw that hotel. But the first thing I did was Saturday morning I had to kick it off by going to Disneyland Park, and took advantage of the fact that if you stay on site at the hotels, they do have an extra magic hour option. During the time I was there, the parks, both studios and Disneyland Park, opened at 10 a.m. So with their extra morning hours, they got in 90 minutes early. So 8:30 was the time that we could go in.
I do have a problem with that. They open the parks, but there is not coffee available until 10 a.m.
Well, and then I also found out, too, that once you get in, it's just, I was hoping because all the food is Americanized that they would at least try, but then it ends up being, you know, if you don't get espresso, then you're just drinking brown water.
And the other thing, too, is their early hours are limited to certain places.
Yes.
It's not the entire park. It's not every ride. So we experienced that one day, and it was like, no, you can't go any further than this rope.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, I want to walk around and see it at least.
Do you have coffee? And they were like, no.
Yeah. For me, it ended up being an advantage because the first things that I wanted to see were Discoveryland. because that's something I've always saw pictures about. I've always read about, knowing that their Space Mountain was unique because it actually has like a somewhat of a launch and goes upside
from
down.
Outside.
It's all, yeah, you exactly. Enter,
you board outside and go shoot up into the mountain.
Yeah, and I've always been fascinated with the Jules Verne aspect of it. So this was something that I wanted to see first and foremost anyways. It probably would have been Phantom Manor, except Phantom Manor was unfortunately, it's been down for a while and it's still down through the rest of summer, part of a long refurbishment. But so it just worked out for me that was all open. Most of it, I think their Autopia wasn't open, their Speedway, but everything else was Star Tours.
So what did you get to do during those early morning hours?
The first thing went to straight away was their Space Mountain, which was currently under a Hyperspace Mountain, which I thought was very, very interesting and cool because it does loop that. It's if you've done Hyperspace Mountain at Disneyland, the Star Wars overlay, it's awesome because they pipe in the Star Wars music and they have like laser effects. You see the TIE fighters and X-Wings flying by. But this one, actually, because of the looping and the intense nature of it, it felt like you really were in like a dogfight in the Star Wars story. So it was definitely unique. I'd be interested to see it on a normal day when it's not Hyperspace Mountain, but from what I saw, I was able to do that. Did Star Tours, and was expecting that to be my first thing that was only in French. But I think there was so many English speakers in our little cabin that it was all completely in English.
So I was gonna say, I do want to sort of clarify that. One of the things that was interesting in Disneyland Paris was there were quite a few times when you had a choice, where you can experience a ride in English or in French. Right.
Also different schedules. If there were seven shows during the day, they would alternate.
Yeah. My goal was trying to hear as much of the French language as possible.
What happened when we went to China and Tokyo is like, I want to hear this in their language.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool book. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So that was a letdown for Star Tours. But, you know, I get it. When you're only in a room with 10 people total and you can stand there and listen to them all speak in English, you're not gonna why would the ride be in French when you have all English speakers there? But and then I also got to experience their Buzz Lightyear, which had a lot of mechanical issues, so what would have been a 10-minute wait ended up being like probably about a 30 to 40 minute experience. But so that ate up a lot of the early morning right there, just doing that. So, and that was an issue that I saw throughout my time there, is that attractions broke down pretty frequently and you just weren't sure how long it would take. There was no real communication like there is in the States parks. It's, you know, here when stuff breaks down, you got to start getting the spiels over and over again, letting you know. Here, we stood in a hallway for 25 minutes, just like,
waiting.
I don't even know what happened.
And again, I'm going to say something, and please don't write to me and be mad at me about this, but the French are very French. And it's like, oh, we're broken down. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're very, it's kind of like the Italians. They're not as
apologetic.
Well, they're not as excitable as we are in America, where something's broken down, let's go fix it. They were kind of, they're kind of laid back about it.
Yeah. It was easy going. It was, you know, it is what it is. So, and that's not a problem. It's actually, it was kind of nice in a way that you didn't have to get so stressed out about it because no one else around you was really stressed out. You know, people that weren't happy left the line and other people just waited. So it was a very different atmosphere in that way. And then the day I tried to start off by just hitting as many of the classics that you could want. So I went over to their Pirates of the Caribbean because I've always been told that is just a complete different experience from any
love
of the other
their
ones.
Pirates.
I really did too. So I.
What makes it different?
The big difference is the theming, like the queue is the most intricately themed queue that you go through in terms of all the pirates that are around here. Like ours in Magic Kingdom is very nice, but this one is just like they built a tropical island that's always at night indoors. So that was a big surprise. But then their story just actually progresses a little bit more naturally. Like, it's very similar in length to Disneyland's, with the extra added tunnels and stuff. But theirs, like, kicks off right away into all the pirate action.
As I said, it felt more action-y to me. It felt like there was much more going on as opposed to the passive ride and you go past scenes.
Right.
It felt like,
and once and then it transitions into, well, then now you're in caves where there's skeletons. And it just felt like the story flowed better. Right. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was. It was really cool.
One of the things I decided when we went to different parks was I was going to ride pirates in every park.
Yeah.
That was my goal. At least let me have that baseline of this is the ride.
You done them all?
I have done every single theme park.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, I got to check out their Indiana Jones attraction, which is not, it's not our stunt show, and it's not Indiana Jones Adventure from Disneyland. It is a roller coaster that is very interesting. It's kind of like an off-the-shelf roller coaster that I guess they added because Euro Disney was losing attendance back in the day to smaller theme parks that had more thrill rides, so they just kind of plopped it in. But still, it was a nice little roller coaster. And honestly, I don't think I did much more that first day because that took me up to about noon, and then Disney did put us in Walt's for lunch and paid for our meal at Walt's, and so won't really talk about the food because it's hard to.
I will
let you.
We've eaten in Walt's several times. Again, I say it's the best in theme park food you'll ever eat. It is 5-star French cuisine inside a theme park, and it is a lot of food. You get a lot of food. We did their dining plan when we went, and that was actually a mistake because we didn't understand it, and it felt like we were trying to eat. Remember that? We did the full board
dining plan. We got everything.
And we got everything every time, and it was like, at one point, we were like, okay, listen, we're just going to lose money because we can't just keep going eating and eating. But yeah, Walt's is incredible. Yeah. Walt's is unbelievable food.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I will say, when I couldn't finish my meal, we did a 3-course meal, and I got too full halfway through my entree, and that never happens with me. I don't get full.
It's also a great space. It's upstairs off of Main Street, so you can actually see Main Street from the restaurant, look out the windows. When we went, there was a parade, a weird Halloween parade that I didn't understand, but it was cool to see the parade from there. Remember that parade? That was like,
how could
every
you not understand a parade?
There was no rhyme or reason to it. There was no, you couldn't understand if it was supposed to be scary or funny or characters or things they made up. It was like a bad trip.
It was also like 4 minutes long.
It was like really short, and they did it over and over again. Like, so like 6th time.
They like walked back and forth.
Might not have been a parade. It might have been the cleaners. Okay, sure. That was a parade. But I love the space up there.
Yeah, it's all the rooms are themed after the different rooms or the different lands of Disneyland Paris. So they had like the Adventureland style room, the Main Street USA style room, a Fantasyland one, a Discoveryland one. So it's one of those restaurants where they urge you to get up and actually walk around and experience the whole space and look at the paintings, look at the props.
Mark Davis original, well, I don't know if it was original, but it was Mark Davis artwork from Pirates and things like that. So it felt very much like Club 33 to me.
Yes, and that's nice. What a lot of people compare it to.
Oh, okay, I wonder what we compare it to.
They compare it to Club 33, but it's not, no one's excluded from it, which is a very nice aspect of it. And speaking of parades, I did get a chance to check out their Stars on Parade that they have, their afternoon one, which was a blend of kind of Festival of Fantasy. It had elements from that, but then there was other elements of it that felt a lot like Sensational out in Disneyland, and it kind of felt like a marriage, but then unique on its own. So that was the first time I really experienced a lot of the back and forth, where there will be dialogue and songs in French, but then it's like a perfect marriage with English. So it kind of all flows. So you don't always need to you don't need to have it all in English or right. all in French. You kind of got the gist of what was happening, what was being sung based on both. So that was all I did the first day. And then
it's a lot.
That
is a lot.
Wait for my second day then.
So then after that, was the rest of that day devoted to the event?
Yeah, that was all fan days after that from about 6 o'clock until 2 a.m. And then until 4 a.m. when I finally went to sleep after I was done with all the editing and things I had to get put up that night. So I got my next day. I started a little bit later. I couldn't make it for the early morning hours, which... wasn't an issue because, as you said, I basically did everything, anyways. So wasn't that much of a massive deal. So I did enter into the park at 10 a.m., which was also nice to see. What would it be like when everyone got in at the same time? The answer for me probably was because it was a very busy weekend with the event happening and just a Sunday. But it was very busy at Disneyland Park right away, first thing in the morning.
This is a very popular park.
Yeah.
The locals love it. So it is crowded, especially on the weekends.
Yeah, did not expect it. I was told that Saturdays were just awful. Avoid Saturdays at all if possible. But Sunday was looking like it was going to be grim too. But I just focused on that day, like starting off the day, trying to hit the things that I didn't do before. I think the first attraction that I went on maybe was It's a Small World, because you have to do It's a Small World and everything. And my goodness, their Small World is just... It felt different because it is very different. And the big way is there wasn't a lot of open. I know, right?
That was really
different because it is different. Sometimes it's hard to describe these rides. Sometimes it's like, how do you do it?
Yeah, okay, I feel bad about myself.
I love the Magic Kingdoms in Disneyland, specifically Disneyland, but there's a lot of open space and just like black walls that are randomly around. It doesn't feel like they utilize the space properly. This, I don't know if it's because the boats were moving faster or if it was my first time, but it felt like there wasn't an inch that wasn't unused.
And the boats were moving faster?
I don't know. I literally felt like I was looking around both sides.
I have to say, I agree with that. I remember that experience thinking, are the boats going fast?
Yeah.
Because I felt like I missed stuff. Like yeah. I missed detail.
Oh, okay.
Where you get to look around in Disneyland right. yeah. and in yes. the Florida version. This was
It was all overload. On both sides. Yeah, I feel like...
Did it feel like it was longer, too?
Yes, it did. But I don't know if it was just the whole sensory of having things. It wasn't like ours here where you clearly are meant to look this way and then look that way.
Right.
It was just surrounding you on both sides the
entire
time.
Those kids were everywhere.
They were.
Did they have a heaven room at the end like ours?
Yes, they do. A little bit different. It's not as heavenly as ours. It's not all white lights and the children floating up. But no, same. It's the same.
Some going down. Some heading.
I just their idea again. I'm sure, and the Marks pointed this out to me. They're like, well, the Americans probably designed this, but I laughed when you get to their America room and it's cowboys and farmers
and
then
Yankees.
Yeah, and then there's a football player and a baseball player just standing there.
Like, God, really?
Well, I'm sure when people from other countries go through our small world and the people from Spain go, because we're all doing the kicks and
I know.
Right. Paris is flamenco dancers in front of the Eiffel Tower.
I got my basket of maize.
It's just,
or whatever.
It's just always hilarious to me.
Don't make fun of my favorite ride.
I know. That's my absolute favorite ride.
And it was wonderful there. It really was.
Was it all inside or did it start outside like Disneyland?
It started outside, but they did theirs outside as ours should be instead of being in a room. Theirs is all covered. So you walk in and it's covered, but it is there is an exterior to it. So and then even
it's not, they also start they get 100. They don't get 100 degree days.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They
so
get snow.
They do get snow.
Oh, do they? Mm. I would love to see Disney in snow.
I think the same thing for about 10 minutes.
No, I would love it.
Oh, I would too. Other things I experienced, they have a version of Storybook Land canal boats there.
I love that too.
That I guess is only open on weekends, that in their Casey Jr. circus train, which they are different from Disneyland's version because their Casey Jr.'s is almost like a little mini roller coaster. that zooms around. It's not like the tractor like at Disneyland. Yeah. It's a tractor on a roller coaster track. Their storybook land isn't narrated. But like there isn't a person on your boat doing it. No? It's just a free floating experience, but still very cool. Same exact concept of it. Did their Alice labyrinth that they have, the maze all around, which it seems like such a simple thing. Like they put a maze inside a park, but it really like you.
Cool.
It's a good time waster. Like it was very easy to navigate, but you like stop and look after the experience of walking all through this maze, seeing some of the animatronics that pop up, getting lost once or twice. You spend like 20 minutes walking through it.
One of the things they explained to us when we were on an Adventures by Disney was Disney, the Magic Kingdom is themed for different countries that might visit in Europe. And I had an epiphany in Magic Kingdom in Disneyland Paris one day with just behind the castle. There's a diorama
of Snow White
and the Seven Dwarfs. And the Seven Dwarfs inside the cottage. And it's very cool. And we were standing there watching it. It's very detailed. And the guide said to us, well, you know, this is the German version. And I said, I don't understand what you mean. He said, well, you know that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Sleeping Beauty are the same story, right? They kind of are the same story. Yeah. However, the French version had seven fairies. Walt brought it down to three fairies.
Oh.
And Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. But if you go and look at the plot points, they're the same story. Well, I stood there with my mouth open, dumbstruck. I thought, I've seen both of these movies. Why didn't I figure this out? But what it is the darker, even the colors, the darker, richer jewel tones are very German.
Yeah.
And the lighter pastels, the pinks and the blues, is very French. And there's an area that's designed for people from Spain, and it's just to appeal to different nationalities. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, and I mean, talk about the castle real quick. I love that their castle, they do have a walkthrough for Sleeping Beauty, not quite as intricate as Disneyland's. Mm-hmm. It's not like you feel like you're going up in it, but you really are, and it's a nice little diorama setup telling the story. But of course, the big thing under their castle, you can walk in and see the dragon.
The dragon. The world's largest animatronic.
Underneath the castle? Dungeon or something?
Yeah, it's literally a dragon in a dungeon under the castle.
Did you take any video of it?
I did, yeah.
Because I've got video twice at home, I bet I could find.
And once it was out of commission.
Yeah. Wow. No, it was just beautiful.
It's
it was
huge,
eerie. It moves massive.
And it breathes fire and there's smoke around. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
One of my favorite Disney artists, I have a couple, Mary Blair, I've talked about that before. Ivan Earle is one of the, he's most associated with Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
And that's what their castle looks like. It looks very Sleeping Beauty, mm-hmm. the little square trees and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was cool was we had gone one time and they had just pulled out all of the original trees, which had grown too much and were now out of perspective.
Yeah.
And they had just replaced it with smaller versions of the trees so that the perspective of the trees in the castle was better.
Was correct.
It's really cool.
The cool thing about the dragon, too, is you just walk under the castle and see it. It's not like you have to queue up or wait to go and see it. It's very sort of relaxed and you're like, oh, this is really neat.
The other thing is about the castles is the United States, both Disneyland and Disney World, are castles that are built like look like they could be real castles. They're kind of built on a realistic. I mean, there's some fancifulness
right.
to it. There is no doubt that the castle in Disneyland Paris is a fantasy castle.
Yeah.
I mean, there are spires that, you know, obviously.
Well, they have real castles.
And that's the joke. Yeah. They have real castles, so they had to go more for a fantasy castle than a.
Because they do have them laying around. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
But even their castle, like, it just. Not even the Sleeping Beauty walkthrough or the dragon. They just had all these pathways around the castle that you could get. I mean, you couldn't get lost, but like there were perspectives and angles that you could get of the castle that you can't get at any of ours because you have maybe pathways on the sides and then the drawbridge going up. This was not like that. You could get so many different unique perspectives and looking up at it.
As
just
you
beautiful.
Walk down Main Street, it sort of sits up on the top of a hill. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Yeah, it really was.
It's the prettiest one, in my opinion.
With the ones I've seen, I would agree with that. Just wrapping up Fantasyland, I did all of the dark rides they have there too, which is Snow White, Pinocchio, and Peter Pan. And and all three of them had differences to the actual ones that you might experience at Disneyland or Walt Disney World. Like Peter Pan, especially, they had four people ride vehicles instead of just two, which was odd. But and that was a mix of English and French. But Snow White and Pinocchio were just fully in French. So that was cool. Yeah. Yeah, and but yeah, so there was a lot of unique stuff in Fantasyland. The detail was just incredible throughout there. Just like Kevin said, like walking in the one gift shop and just finding that there's a full Snow White's cottage set up indoors, looking at it. It's like you don't see that here. It was insane. They just put that inside. And then kind of the last thing. Covered most of Adventureland with pirates. That's the big thing there. They have Swiss Family Treehouse, which I always do wherever it is. Yeah. Their Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which is very unique because it sits out on the middle of this island, kind of like a Tom Sawyer's Island. But because they do have a boat that goes around the island too, but the loading dock for it is on the mainland. So it's unique that it actually has a tunnel that it connects from the loading and unloading station
under the water.
And it goes under the water, and it ended up being my favorite attraction that I experienced in Disneyland Park. Only I know it's so simple just going through a tunnel, but the experience you have going back and forth in complete darkness in this area, it's one of those things you just have to do to understand. It was thrilling and just really unique. And yeah, so those are the kind of the highlights for Disneyland Park. The last thing I would talk about is Main Street. It gets a lot of press that while their Main Street is normal, just right down the center, they have two arcades on each side, on side streets. So you have the middle of Main Street, gift shops, and then on the opposite side of the gift shops are
enclosed walkways, covered walkways.
Okay. So the gift shops have a front and a back door.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's cool.
And they do it again because it snows there and it gets cold there. So when they want people to exit the park quickly, people can go down those side areas.
There's three walkways.
But it's like such a, you're like, this is brilliant.
Yeah. Why didn't everybody do this?
Why doesn't every park have this? This is brilliant.
Well, and they are enclosed, but they have all these gas lamplights along the way. And it is very cool. Like, it's very like 1920s World Fair-ish. So yes. Like the one side, it tells the story of the Statue of Liberty and has this little diorama where everyone's looking at the Statue of Liberty after it's built. The other one is focused on other technologies and innovation. So it's these... Just
as
simple,
you're walking along, you think everybody should have a bustle.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay.
And it's big enough that there are benches, there are little tables. I mean, you can go to the bakery and get something and you get a drink and you can sit down in this arcade as
and
people go by.
And we've been there when it rained.
And it's
so this
brilliant.
Makes it
yeah.
very easy to access Main Street.
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, it was very cool. Very cool.
It can happen here.
I would love it. And I did see their nighttime show out there. Illuminations, no relation to our Illuminations right. at Epcot, but it was a blend of castle projections and then also fountains right around their castle, because their castle does have a moat area too, like every castle should. And so this was
that was the first place where we actually saw a projection show.
That was the first
and
one.
We were blown away by that. We were like, this is incredible. But now it's, you know, everywhere you go is...
It was, projection. But it still felt like their projection technology. I know ours is amazing out here, but something about watching it there, it felt crisper. It felt like because...
It felt more of a story out there. Yeah. I don't know
they
what the
new show
is.
Something that I haven't seen before because of the way their castle is built. They had the Hunchback swinging around the turrets and jumping from one to the other. Completely blew me away.
Yeah, and then they stole that for our Happily Ever After. So with this show, I will say it was a beautiful show, obviously worth watching. I had to wait 2 hours to get like a prime viewing location of it, but it was worth it. The one thing that I found odd was like they included Beauty and the Beast in it, of course, which is a French tale, mm-hmm. but I felt so odd that like the Little Mermaid section was all in French, and then they get to Beauty and the Beast and it was in English. And then I was like, well, you think they would have kept the story from the country in its foreign language, but that was just an odd criticism on my behalf. But in the middle of my whole long Disneyland park day, I also did go over to the studios because I need to experience stuff.
Saw Ratatouille, right?
Oh yeah, no, I went and experienced Ratatouille, which is the birthplace of the Ratatouille attraction that we'll eventually be getting here in the next couple of years at Epcot in World Showcase at the France Pavilion. So I got my sneak peek at what it's going to be like, and I think it's going to make most people very, very happy.
Very, very happy. Yeah. I love that ride.
Best theme park ride I've ever been on.
That you've ever been on.
Really?
Because there's a couple you haven't been on that are incredible.
Then they don't matter.
They don't matter.
It's the best theme park ride I've ever been on.
Cool.
Yeah, it was
Pirates in Shanghai.
I tried.
I am the one thing I felt, again, I don't want to keep going on, but part of what I was excited about being in France was hearing the French language. And so I love that Ratatouille had that blend back and forth between English and French, and it felt natural because of the movie.
Yeah. The first thing I did was I wanted to do Jungle Cruise in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to hear them do it. And the funny part about that was this guy was animated and he was excited and he was going, and you could tell he was telling jokes and stuff. Flat. The whole boat was just flat. And I went on with Jeff, and we're hysterical just because of the fact that he's working so hard. Nobody was laughing. Nobody did anything. At the end, we cheered. They all got off. They walked off the boat. I don't know if it's
a cultural thing?
Maybe.
Yeah, that might be a culture.
But it was funny. But that's something I wanted to do, is I wanted to see our rides in different languages.
It's funny, because I remember, it's been a while. It's been a minute since I've been there. But I remember the languages just flowing back and forth.
It did in this attraction. And I really hope they keep that when they bring it to World Showcase. Yeah. I hope they don't just go straight English on it, because it felt authentic being there like
and
this.
And the story doesn't suffer because it's not in English.
Absolutely not. No. And that leads me to another one of the highlights of that park. It's called Mickey and the Magician. It's being rumored right now that this show could come to
we didn't see it.
Was this Cinemagique when we were there?
No,
it's in the theater.
It's in the same theater, but it's a different show. This is the one everybody raved about, and we didn't go. I regret not doing it.
Yeah, essentially, it's kind of along the line of Sorcerer Apprentice. Mickey is with an actual magician, and along the way, the magician goes away, and Mickey starts, all the Disney characters and movies start popping up. And it's blended with like actual like magic in there. So magic tricks are happening. I know it's happened in a couple shows now, but I think this was the first one where they did the costume change for one of the characters. I can't remember which one in this show, but going from wearing one outfit to just pulling like a cord and doing a spin, and then they were in a complete different one.
Yeah.
Like I know they added that to the Frozen show in California, I believe, but I think this was the first time it was done for a Disney park show. But kind of magic like that throughout. But this, again, it kind of went, Mickey only spoke in French, but like the magician and the side characters spoke English. So you understood the entire show, because they would usually repeat, like, why, yes, Mickey, that is what I just said.
Yeah.
But this show was mesmerizing. If it comes,
people love it.
If it comes to Hollywood Studios, like some people are saying, it will blow our crowds away. Like the first thing I said after watching it was like, I can't believe that we still have Beauty and the Beast live on stage with all these shoddy costumed characters just bouncing around that are the same size as the actors that are in the show. Like, I can't believe we still have that running 20 years later, but then there's this type of show.
But the question becomes, you know, do we make every park the same? Do we put the same attractions in every single theme park, or do we leave it where there's unique attractions?
Well, I definitely think there should be unique attractions for each park.
Yeah, and I also weigh the same thing. And this, but a show like this felt like it could do well on Cruise Line. It could do well anywhere.
And maybe some version of it.
Yeah, when the show, like, even if it's changed up, use different Disney movies in it. It doesn't always have to be the same representation, but it was, I mean, the storyline was great. That's why the show worked.
That's also one of the things that out there, they always say, you got to see it. You have to see it. And people get in line early to see it.
Did you ride Crush's Coaster?
I did ride Crush's Coaster, and that is a spinning coaster that's set to Finding Nemo, and it was a lot of fun. I waited probably like 35 minutes for it in the single rider's line, and it was worth every minute waiting.
From the outside, it looks like a ride that would be aimed at children.
A dark ride, like.
And Valerie, our friend Valerie, who's in her 70s, and she wouldn't mind me saying that, decided she was going to ride it just because it looked cute. She came off and her hair was all puffed out and she had turned as white as the sheet of paper in front of you. And she said words that we can't say on the podcast.
It's a wild mouse type of ride, but it's much more intense.
But you're sitting in an upside down turtle shell. And as soon as the ride starts, the turtle shell is let loose. So it spins. It's like Triceratops spin, but more violent.
And it's also paired with the optics that make it a little bit more intense. So you did a lot. Okay.
I was going to say.
You got a lot done. You did more in your 2 days, I think, than we did in five.
Yeah, no, because I did the only other attractions I did at Studios was, I skipped their Toy Story Land because it looks awful. But I did the tram tour, the back lot, so I could see they still have Catastrophe Canyon running there. And then they have arguably the worst special effects show out there. It's an Armageddon one.
So and stupid.
It's it
so
was
dumb.
There, what was it before? It wasn't Armageddon.
No, it was Armageddon.
Huh? Is that
the when I went, the only thing that was terrible.
Well, okay. It was clearly meant for like Hollywood Studios too, because the intro of it is done by Michael Clark Duncan, one of the actors from it, who's no longer with us too, so that just makes it slightly morbid from the start. But then they dubbed him over in French with an accent that doesn't sound good. So it's like, well, why would this attraction that's only in France, why would they get an American who doesn't speak French to be the host of it?
Is this the one where you stood around a big circle when you were inside? It wasn't Armageddon when I did it, because I know Bruce Willis was involved in it. Was he in Armageddon?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis was.
Yeah, so it was
maybe
Armageddon.
It was Armageddon. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the only time we've been there has been Armageddon.
The most ridiculous 30 minutes I've ever spent in a theme park.
Agreed. Yeah.
And to me, it feels like, well, we spent so much money on this stupid thing, we're just going to keep it in here. But it is really ridiculous.
Yeah. It is.
Don't waste your time. So I want to go to, you did a lot.
Yes.
Absolutely did a lot. What is the trick behind doing a lot? Is it because you were just driven and pushed and you were by yourself and you were going to run from pillar to post? Or did you think you could do it again?
Okay. So... 50-50. So they did give me a VIP fast pass. So I will say that I did have that. That essentially meant that I could do every attraction that had a fast pass just walking right in there.
Okay,
didn't have to worry about the times. However, I only used that, I think, once the entire time I was there. I used it twice, both for Big Thunder. But the first time I rode Big Thunder, I used it because I only had a limited time, jumped right on it. The second time I did it, I was with the Marks, and they did get their fast pass time, and I waited. I just didn't get a fast pass because I didn't need it.
Can we just say that the Marks are two gentlemen named Mark who live in England?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, I was by myself, so I utilized single rider on things like Ratatouille. Ratatouille... The fast pass wait had to have been about 10 or 20 minutes, but single rider was pretty much a walk-on or 5 minutes, so I used that. Crushes didn't have a fast pass, so I had to use single rider for that. I was smart about that. I think the only other time I used fast pass was Peter Pan, because like every Peter Pan out there, it's an hour-long wait.
Just drives me
for
crazy.
Such a short ride. So I did utilize it there. So I probably would have missed out on maybe like two or three attractions or one or two re-rides on things without it. But this took motivation. Knowing that I only had a day and a half to do everything, it took a lot of motivation.
You also moved faster as a single person, I imagine.
Yeah.
you know, younger, and he's got more energy than we do.
Yeah. I think just being by yourself where you don't have to make, you don't have to take other people into consideration.
That was a huge part. I luckily when I was with the Marks, they were very open to like, yeah, whatever you want to do, you're here for the limited amount of time, we'll go do it. So that helped. But then once I was on my own, that's when I started bouncing around. It took me until I think 6 o'clock on Sunday to realize that I didn't eat at all throughout the entire day. So then finally I stopped and got a quick service meal, which, you know,
another function of being younger.
Right?
Because it's like, we're like,
oh my,
okay, let's
I
eat,
forgot
let's
to eat. Eat.
Let's eat. I forgot to eat.
That, well, that never happens to me. I need my three meals a day, but it was just that motivation of
excitement.
I have to get these done.
When
I have
someone
to see them.
Says to you, I forgot to eat, do you not want to beat them to a pulp?
Yes. Oh, look, I have not eaten today.
My first trip to Disneyland was a business trip, and I had one day to visit Disneyland, and I pretty much did that. Now that's when it was just the Disneyland park, but I was in my 20s and it was a different time, and I ran all around and did everything I could in one day. So when you're younger and you've got different priorities, you get to do that.
I stopped and I finally got my quick service meal. I got a pizza to carb up, and luckily at
I don't understand this experience.
luckily at their quick service restaurants as well as full service, they do actually offer alcohol that you can purchase. You have to buy food in order to get it, though, so it's not like you can just walk up to a quick service and get it. That being said, I know you say it in that way, people are very concerned about our Magic Kingdom adding alcohol to table service meals, maybe even one day quick service. This, between both of those parks, was the least amount of people I ever saw drinking at any Disney park.
It's also Europe.
Yourself included?
Myself, what do you mean? Sorry.
You didn't drink a lot?
I only had the one beer with my quick service meal, just because I needed fast carbs to get in my body and give me more energy. It was in the studios. I figured that's not a castle park. So that would
do the same thing.
I figured that was not a castle park, so it would be like Epcot, California Adventure, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, where you have bars everywhere. And again, there was nothing. When you went to a quick service stand expecting maybe they might have beer there, it was Perrier and other soft drinks, and that was it. So it felt like they kept – people might be concerned like, oh, it's Europe, there's alcohol everywhere. There really wasn't. So if you're going to these parks thinking that you're going to spend a day like California Adventure or Epcot just getting drunk, that's not the experience.
Yeah.
So not at all. But yeah, that took me by surprise.
Excellent. All right, so let's do a little bit of just sort of not logistics, but a little bit of talking about booking Disneyland Paris. We've had this conversation before. Dreams Unlimited Travel can book a Disneyland Paris vacation. We choose not to make it a forefront of what we sell because we don't have a lot of agents who have the experience with that park. But if you're a client of Dreams and you write your agent, they can help you out with that. We've booked a couple of folks for Disneyland Paris. But one of the places where we do book quite a few people is they do an add-on to an Adventures by Disney trip.
Adventures by Disney adds a 2 or 3 day Disneyland Paris add-on to their London Paris adventure, and now that they're doing the Seine River cruises, you can do an add-on at the end of your Seine River cruise. That is the only way they will book a Disneyland Paris add-on. You can't add it to an Italy adventure and end up in Disneyland Paris. You would have to book on your own.
And the nice thing about that is you do get fast passes as part of
you get fast passes. You right. get your food included. It's not inexpensive, though.
Right.
It's because Disneyland Paris, a lot of times, they have the food packages that are added to it. And that's included.
Yeah.
And you have a choice of staying in the Disneyland Hotel or the New York Hotel, which I imagine eventually will be the Marvel Hotel. But there is a difference in price in that also, kind of like staying...
like the Grand Floridian versus, right. you know, something
a
else.
A monorail resort versus a non-monorail resort. Right.
So there are options for you if you want to do it. You could certainly do it on your own. There's a lot of information online. They offer packages the same way you could book at Walt Disney World or Disneyland. You could book a vacation package. You could book tickets separate. The only thing I would advise you on that is their tickets are a little weird. They're a little bit more constructed than our tickets. You know, you can't just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's kind of this block of how you buy their tickets.
And if you're visiting Paris or any other of the European cities, there, the train, as I said before, does take you directly into Disneyland Paris. So it is accessible.
I think if you have the opportunity to go, you should go.
I think that's true of every place.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit. There were some theme parks that we visited that I don't know were worth it. Hong Kong Disneyland was not one that I would go out of my way to see.
I think if you're a Disney fan, you should see them all if you can. Mm-hmm. You might decide not to go back again, but I think Disneyland Paris is definitely worth the trip. Right. I don't know that I would do it on a red eye for 48 hours, I'm not Craig's age.
I would say the next time I go back, I will definitely probably give myself 3 days there. Definitely 2 full days, and then that half a day to work on travel and transportation. And I feel like that would be a nice, comfortable amount. I had fan days going on, so that took away for a lot of hours.
Guess how much more you could have done if you didn't have to go to that party. Holy smokes.
Exactly.
You could have painted the hotel. Yep.
And that's what affected it. But I would, you know, then, so if you get that 2.5, 3 days there, couple that on with actually experiencing France. Sorry, I almost said French and France at the same time. I think that would be ideal, because the one thing that I was, again, I knew that going in that most of Europe knows a little bit of English enough to get by. But at Disneyland, it felt like as soon as they pegged you as either British or English, they are American, they knew right away to just switch into English mode. And even if you tried to do like little phrases with them, they just preferred keeping it.
You didn't try little English. Phrases, did
no,
you?
No, I did. You know, the basic ones that you know, merci.
You have to be polite.
Bonjour, stuff like that. But they prefer speaking English. And I get that. They learned English. I'm sure they want to speak it the same way that we want to speak the words that we do know.
Somebody told me that was especially the case with something like Phantom Manor. Phantom Manor, they listen to the room to decide how they're going to actually go the route of it.
The only rude cast member I met in Disneyland Paris is I thought I was being clever and I asked for trois aqua. And she looks at me and she goes, "Where in the United States are you from?" And I said, "Florida." She goes, "Aqua's doesn't mean water." "Oh." I said, "Can I trois o?" She goes, "Yes, you can have three waters." And she was snotty about it.
And she wasn't even French.
I have a question. What do you think, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, what is the average length of stay when people go to Disneyland Paris? Is it a short visit?
Yeah, I don't think it's a long
time.
It's not like a 7-nighter?
No, because what they offer, some of the tickets they offer are actually, their multi-day tickets come in 2, 3, and 4 day. So nothing beyond a 4-day ticket.
Well, have to tell you, and I understand that Craig's situation was wildly different than anything else. I think it's kind of criminal if you go to France and you go to Disneyland and not visit Paris.
Oh, well,
Paris
is
20 miles away.
Yeah, right. I couldn't go.
I understand.
And I mean, I could have. I could have said the heck with Disneyland Paris on that Sunday and I could have went there. My wife would have murdered me if I would have went into Paris without her.
I think I'd be helping
her
pick out the weapons on that one.
Yeah, so
I think it's criminal. So I think people add this to a stay in Paris.
Or a parrot with a stay in Paris.
A parrot, did I say?
Had it. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say one thing
they mean the same thing.
I've looked at too. Their annual pass prices are ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
So if you do travel to Europe a couple times a year, they're like basically the no blockout date one is, with the conversion, if you get it at the right time, you can get it for like $600.
The other thing I remember too is they had a lot of discounts for pass holders. Yeah. They had merchandise discounts and food discounts. So they were very generous about that.
We talked about going one time and it was only to Disneyland Paris. And I told John I wouldn't go. I'm not going to Disneyland Paris and not visit
the city of Paris.
Yeah, you have to go to Paris.
I agree. Excellent. Craig, thank you so much for giving us that information. We are very happy that you had a good time and you got a chance to go. We're very jealous.
No, we're not.
We're not.
I am.
I'm jealous.
I would love to spend more time in France, but to fly out on a Thursday night and come back on Monday morning?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Again, thank you very much. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you everybody at home for listening and watching. We hope you have a great week and we hope you have a great vacation.